If you've not already, I invite you to turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. And also in the bulletin is an outline that will follow along with the service and with the PowerPoint presentation on the sermon, if you find that helpful. My message this morning is really a follow-up message to last week. After last week's message, someone came up to me and they said, "Oh, Pastor, you're such a warm preacher." I said, "Thank you." And then I went in my office and I looked up the word warm and it said, "Not so hot." Then as I began to wonder. And 2 weeks ago when we went a little bit long, someone else came up to me and said, "Pastor, the eternal gospel doesn't need an everlasting sermon either." I trust this morning in the few minutes that we have together and look into the Word that you will be blessed and you'll be encouraged. As I said, my message is a follow-up message from last week when I spoke on how much God loves us. When I spoke on the topic of God's extravagant love for us. And this morning as we look at 1 John chapter 2, I want to bring a message this morning that while our Father God loves us, and He has an extravagant love for us, and He has shown us the extent of His love by sending His one and only Son, the Son that He loves, Jesus Christ, to pay the penalty for our sins. And then He adopts us as His children. We who are spiritual orphans, He adopts us as His children. This morning I want to focus on the truth in the Word here that this beautiful benefit, this extravagant love, while God has this for us, it is not automatically given. No, there is a calling upon our lives to know Jesus Christ, to follow Him, to walk the walk, and not just talk the talk. I invite you to pray with me, please. And now, Father, we come to Your Word. Your Word is truth to us. We bow in our hearts before the authority and the truth of Your Word. We ask that You will speak to us, that Your Holy Spirit will take the words of Jesus and the words of the Apostle John and make them truth to us. Give us ears to hear and obedient hearts. Lord, we pray in Your precious and holy name. Amen. And amen. As we look at this passage in 1 John chapter 2, the main point that I want to share with us this morning is this, that every one of us has a calling on our lives, a calling from Jesus Christ on our lives to know Him and then to walk out our faith in obedient living. There's a calling that God puts on every one of us to know Jesus Christ and to walk out our faith, our knowledge of Him, our relationship with Him, in obedient living. In other words, that there's not just meant to be talk, but it's meant to be a walk. In this day that we live, there's a lot of God talk. Politicians will use God and they'll use religion to their benefit. Celebrities will use religion, they'll use God, they'll use Jesus Christ to their benefit. And everybody has an opinion. There's a lot of God talk. Interesting, in America, the polls that have been taken by the Barna Research Group and the Gallup polls have shown that probably 78 to 80% of the people that live in America confess to be Christians. And the question I would have to ask is, if that is the case, then why are we in such spiritual straits? Why are we in such spiritual trouble? Why is our country in such moral decay? So there is a lot of God talk, but God is not interested in talk. In fact, Jesus, in the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 7, Jesus talks about the end days and when He will come again and He will judge the nations and everybody in them. And His question will not be, "How much did you talk?" No, He says, "How much did you walk?" He says to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed of My Father, and enter the kingdom." Then he turns to those on his left and he says, "Away from me, for I never knew you." There is a calling on our lives that John puts here that we are to know Jesus Christ. The central issue, in fact, in this passage and in the book of 1 John, indeed the whole New Testament, is to know Jesus Christ. Look with me at verse 3. And if you'll put that on the screen for us, Les. Verse 3. "We know that we have come to know Him if we obey His commands." Verse 4. "The man who says, 'I know Him,' but does not do what He commands is a liar." And then the second part of verse 5. "This is how we know we are in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did." Over and over again, it calls us to know Him, which means to live in Him. To know Him not just as a religion, not just as some sort of a doctrine. No, He wants us to know Him. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know and have you encountered the risen, living Lord Jesus Christ? As we have been studying the Scriptures over the past few weeks, and we've gone into the book of Revelation, we've seen the vision that God gave to John, the same John that has written this letter. And we saw John has a vision of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. He is no longer on the cross, broken and poured out for our sins. No, He has been raised from the dead. He has overcome death and hell and all the powers of darkness. Do you know this risen Lord Jesus Christ? I'm not talking about religion. There's a lot of religions in the world. Religion won't get you anywhere. Religion is us trying to somehow, through some system that we've invented, somehow to gain access to God. I'm not talking about trying to live a good life. For indeed, none of us can live a good enough life to earn or be worthy of God's grace. Jesus made it very clear. He made it simple. He said, if you want to earn God's approval, God's love, there's only one thing you have to do. Be perfect. He says in Matthew chapter 5, He says, "Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." And I think all of us would have to agree, we cannot be perfect. We are unable to be perfect. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory, the standard of God. I'm not even talking about the fact of being a part of a church this morning. You can be a part of a church and still not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can come and shake the preacher's hand. You can come and sign the card. You can even, in some churches, you can be baptized and still not truly know Jesus Christ. Do you know the risen Lord Jesus Christ this morning? Now, in order to know somebody, the first thing that you need to do is you need to meet them. And then you get to know them and you develop a relationship and you get to know each other more and more. This is the same with Jesus Christ. And we invite you this morning, if you have not met Jesus Christ, we invite you to meet Him this morning. Encounter Him as the living Lord, as the one who was dead but is now alive forevermore. I gave our dear brother Art Lohman about 30 minutes notice that I was going to bring him in on the sermon this morning. So Art, come on over here. I have some questions for you, my dear brother. Do we have a microphone right handy? Somewhere. Here we go. Thank you, Jim.
And at least to know the question.
Where's your tie, sir?
I'm
just kidding. This is my dear brother, Art. I am his mentor, though he sometimes thinks I'm his mentor. But Art is part of the ministerial study program, has been a part of that for several years, and I'm still your boss, so remember that, sir. I want to ask you some questions, though, as a friend this morning, Art, and I'm going to let you hold that so that everybody can hear you as you answer. I've known you, Art, for about 5 years now. And Art, have you come to a place where you've met Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior?
Yes, sir.
Tell us how that happened. I mean, didn't you grow up in the church? I mean, were you, you know, in the church as a kid? Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. Well, I guess I was raised in the Catholic faith, which was cool. It it taught me a lot about structure and the need to have an organized religious base. And for a lot of folks, it helps teach a structure. And but I didn't know the Lord, and I took my communion, and I read my missalette and all that, and I didn't know Him. And it was finally, it was rather bad. And since I live 1,000 miles away, I guess I can say all this stuff now. But
easy now, easy.
I guess alcohol, pornography, rebelling against my parents, and all the while I was, popping in and out of the Catholic Church. And it actually reached the point where, as a state trooper, I was the Roman soldier. We had arrested a youth group from a church and for setting off fireworks. And, pretty harmless, but the sergeant that was in charge that day got really torqued when no one would confess whose fireworks they were, so she locked up the whole herd of them, including the youth leader. So I wasn't there for the actual arrest, but I was in the barrack, and I heard them singing in the cells. And they were actually, they were calling out to Christ in the cells, just like you read about in the Bible stories. And I ain't having no part of that, none of that emotional fluff in my police station. And I actually was the dude that went up and beat on the cell door and said, "Hey, shut up in there." And they invited me to a Bible study.
Amen.
And met one of the guys a couple weeks later. He invited me back again. And I said, "You know what?" And because secretly inside, I knew what I was doing. My badge was shiny, but my heart was really nasty. And I also had a fear of death. I'd stay up late at night and I couldn't sleep because I knew, here I am with a big shoot me painted on me to the criminal element, and death was scary. But I knew I wanted to fight to help people. But I was only putting Band-Aids on broken arms, so nothing was fully coming together, and what the heck. So I went to the Bible study, and it was just a group of guys, and they started telling me about Jesus Christ as a personal savior. And I didn't buy it, but I had questions. And for the next 3 weeks, we sat up almost 2 a.m, every morning, work permitting, wherever I could. And I was diving into that Bible, and I was asking questions. I mean, everything from life, death, hell, angels, how come there's no, history the way I learned it in school? And then to my shock and surprise, as they started referring me to the different kingdoms that existed, and, like, wow, there really is history there, and all these other questions, and I reached the point where, my God, there's a God. And I asked Christ into my heart in the passenger seat of a Chevy Cavalier, and sitting in Mattapique, of all places, and with a buddy and who shared Christ with me. And I knew at that point there were so many guys out there, and I know you. I know your types, and you have this, you young ones, you have this fire to save the world and do what's right. And I know because I still got that fire. And others, as we get older, you want to just, you want your families and see your kids raised with all the blessings and safety and security. And but you're struggling with stuff too. I know the arguments you get in about finances, and and I know the pain we go through. I know the betrayal you feel. And it's so hard to listen to somebody telling you about an invisible being. And I know it doesn't make sense. But having been shot at, having been run over, and having to be faced with a split-second decision, do I kill another human being to save other human beings? It wasn't my money. It wasn't even my wife or my children. It wasn't anything that allowed me to do those things. It was the knowledge that there is justice and there is strength and there is hope for me when I die, for my family to carry on if I am killed, and there will be honor and integrity in life. Even as we struggle with sin, there's hope and forgiveness and honor and integrity that we may enter the kingdom of Christ. because of Christ. And I did it. And I killed where I had to kill. And I saved where I was called to save. And it's hard to explain. I've never heard God speak to me. Some people have said they have. I never have. But if I'm not taking too much time, I'll just give an example that happened a week and a half ago. We were at the racetrack, and this dude was struggling with some hard stuff. Fast racer, too, turning really good times. And as he came in on his bike, you know, we got all our gear on, and we got all our junk, and we got all our bikes, and we got everything, and it's a beautiful day, and there's just people everywhere. And I felt, you got to go talk to this guy and tell him about Christ. And, you know, and here's this guy I've never met before in my life other than for a few minutes. And I started walking across the paddock and all my junk and everything, carrying all my gear. And I'm like, well, Lord, what am I going to say to this guy? What am I going to do? I mean, why am I doing this? You know, and again, here's this whole, why do we talk about an invisible being? You know, why? And I got up to this kid, and he's like 23, and I said, come on, man, walk with me. And we walked into the infield. We got motorcycles screaming all around us, and we found a quiet tree covered in Spanish moss and shared the gospel with him. And that young man accepted Christ. Amen. And why? Why would he do it? You know, he's 23. He's got everything going for him. Who needs this invisible, fake God emotional stuff? And yet we do. We all do.
Amen. That's pretty good for on the spot, isn't it? The risen Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples, "You have seen me, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet will believe." I would like to ask a bold thing of you. Those of you who have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, would you just raise your hand all throughout the congregation? I don't do that to embarrass anybody, but just the fact that you can put them down. There is evidence in that we have encountered and been transformed by this invisible being that God, that Art mentioned. And Jesus Christ is not just a doctrine. He's not just a myth. And I also want to say, don't confuse Jesus Christ with the church. The church is made up of sinful humans that God is redeeming. And there's many failures on the part of the church. And yes, we represent God, and we need to own up to those times when we fail and make it right. But don't confuse Jesus Christ with the church, because Jesus Christ is true. He is pure. He is holy. Though the church may fail and may have its issues, don't confuse Jesus Christ with the church. As we continue on in these last few minutes, the Scripture tells us here, number one, that since we have this calling on our lives, if we profess to know Jesus Christ, if we call Him our Lord, then there is a calling upon us to obey His commands. We obey His commands not to gain our salvation, not to gain or merit His love, and not to try and make up for all the evil or the sin that we've done and somehow outweigh it. No, the calling to obey Him comes out of love. It's a love relationship that we have with Christ. We obey out of gratefulness. We obey because we want to. If time allowed us, I would interview Art and ask him, what has changed in your life? How has God changed you? And I know one of the ways, because I know him, is that God has changed him from a man who desired to give himself to sin, who now desires to give himself to God and give himself to God's love and commandment. God changes our heart so that we actually want to obey him. It's that way in any relationship. Let me give you an example. My dear wife and I have been married. We'll celebrate 25 years this coming summer. And my dear wife and I love each other. And I obey my wife. When she tells me to take out the trash, I take out the trash. Now, I don't have to obey her. Well, that's not quite true. She would probably beat me to a bloody pulp. I'm just kidding. Just having a little fun. But I don't have to obey her, but I obey her and I do what pleases her because I love her. You see, we've settled that issue a long time ago that we love one another and we're committed and dedicated to one another. And so our desire towards one another is to please one another, to be there for each other's benefit and advantage. You see, God's already started the relationship with you. He's already given you something, a gift for your advantage. And we talked about that last week. The gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, was given for your advantage and my advantage. And now, when we start a relationship with Jesus Christ, we obey Him, we follow Him, because we want to. It's out of gratefulness. Jesus spoke these words, this exact same thing, in the Gospel of John. In fact, John wrote down these words from Jesus, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 15 through the first part of 17. And Art Lohman is going to read that scripture for us.
You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth.
Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey me. In other words, out of this love relationship that we have for Jesus, we will obey Him, not merely for obligation, not as a religious duty, no, but it comes out of a heart, a desire to follow Him and to please Him. And so John, later on as he writes this letter, he includes this phrase, this statement that Jesus says, and he repeats it again and he adds on some things to help us understand. In this 1 John letter, chapter 5, we read this, and Randy Denny is going to read that for us. Chapter 5, verse 3.
This is love for God, to obey His commands, and His commands are not burdensome.
His commands are not burdensome. In other words, the desire to follow and obey Christ is not something that He puts on us that becomes a burden, but rather it's something that we truly desire to do. Now, the Lord also knows our human capacity, our human limits, and He doesn't ask us to do that which we are not able to do. But by His Spirit within us, He enables us to follow His commands. Well, what are His commands? What's the bottom line that Christ asks us to obey Him in? If we drop back to chapter 3 of the same letter, 1 John 3, 23 through 24 is what His commands is. And Jim Grimplin will read that for us.
1 John 3:23. And this is His command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. Those who obey His commands live in Him, and He in them. And this is how we know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit He gave us.
You see, God gives us His Spirit. He doesn't expect us to just go out and do this in our own strength. He knows our human frailty. He knows that we are weak. Jesus Himself said to Peter, the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so God allows His Holy Spirit to come into our human spirit and enable us, supernaturally energize us to obey Him. And His command is first to believe in Jesus Christ and then to love one another. If we are committed to loving one another, then we fulfill the whole of the law. If we will love one another, we will not do those things which are against God's law. Now, this is not sinless perfection. We all will fail. We all fall short. And that's why God has given us a wonderful provision here in the Scriptures for forgiveness and cleansing. As I summarize this point, when we come to know Jesus Christ and we understand what He's done for us, as it says, He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, then we live for Him out of gratitude for what He's done for us. I shared last week about God's extravagant love, how He loved us so much that He sent His Son to die in our place and to take our sins. But He doesn't do that expecting us to come to Him and to clean up our act, to get our lives straightened out. No, in fact, it tells us while we were still sinners, while we were still rejecting Him and had no interest in serving Him or knowing Him, it says Christ came and died for us. That is what He's done for us. He is the one who is made an atoning sacrifice. I mean, is the one who has taken away our sin. And now, because of what He's done for us, we serve Him out of love and gratitude. Number two, and I'm going to end with this today. In our walk with Christ, as we know Him, when we fail or when we fall, when we sin, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, speaks to the Father in our defense. The picture here is that of a courtroom. And when our sins, our transgressions, are brought to God the Father's attention, and the Scripture does say that our sins are brought to the Father's attention. In fact, it tells us there is a book for every one of us. Did you know that God has a book where He's recorded in that book everything about us? We open that book, we see when we were born. And we see in that book everything we've ever done, every word we've ever spoken, every thought that we've ever thought. It's all there. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And God knows all these. And He's taken this book, and let this be illustrated as the book that God has. See, this is the problem, isn't it? It's our sin. And it separates us from God because God is holy. But the Scripture says God sent Jesus, His Son, and He has taken upon Him the sin of us all. And He allows us then to have this relationship with God if we will receive it, if we will know Him. But not only is it initial, but Jesus continues to speak in our defense as we sin and as we fail in our walk. When the sin is brought to God the Father's attention, when our transgression is brought to God the Father's attention, Jesus Christ says to those of us who know Him, who have a relationship with Him, He says to the Father, they're forgiven. They're forgiven. Father, that transgression is forgiven. I've taken the punishment. He defends us. Now, any of us who have had any kind of legal matters know how important it is to have a good defense. You have to have someone who will speak on your behalf. And hopefully they are one that is committed to the truth and committed to your behalf to speak in your defense. We have the perfect one, the righteous one, Jesus Christ, who speaks to the Father in our defense. You see, we need a defense before God. We have sinned. We have fallen short. But Jesus speaks in our defense. Not only did He die in our place and take the penalty for our sins, but He is our continual advocate with the Father. And so we do not live and we do not serve Him out of fear. No, we're set free. We're set free to serve Him out of love. And when we do fail and when we sin, there is this promise here in the Scripture of continual forgiveness, continual cleansing. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if you put that up for me, Les, it says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How many times will He do that? Every day. And every day until we go and be with Him or He comes again and receives us unto Himself. How many times will Jesus forgive us? How many times will He cleanse us? As many times as we need it. We live in a fallen world. And though we follow Jesus, we still get our feet dirty. And we must go to God and ask for His provision of forgiveness and cleansing. I close this morning right where I began. Do you know Jesus Christ? Have you come to a place in your life where you know that you know Him? The Scripture says here in 1 John chapter 2 that you will know that you know Him if you are following and obeying His commands. Not out of fear, not out of obligation, not because the preacher says so, but because you want to. God has touched your heart. You've encountered Jesus Christ. And now out of love and gratitude, you follow Him. Jesus Christ, God's only Son, died in our place. He atoned for us. He took the penalty for our sin. And He offers us forgiveness and eternal life. I close with His words in Revelation chapter 3. He speaks to all of us, the risen Lord Jesus Christ, and He says this, "Here I am, I stand at the door, and I knock." That represents the door of our heart. He says, "I stand at the door and I knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me." It's a beautiful picture of having an intimate fellowship, having a dinner, having a meal with Jesus Christ. It's that real. It's that intimate. It's not just a religion. Have you come to know Jesus Christ? Have you opened your heart and invited Him in? He wants to know you. He wants to have a relationship with you. He is knocking at the door of your heart. He's a gentleman. He doesn't come in and force the door open. He doesn't push it or kick it down. He knocks and He waits and He says, if anyone hears My voice and opens the door, I will come in and I will have fellowship with them and they will have fellowship with Me. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we again thank You for loving us. Thank You for sending Your Son, Your most beloved Son, the one that You said You love. You sent Him for us. And Lord, we confess that's hard for us to understand. It's hard for us to comprehend that. That Christ would come and die for us. That He would take our punishment upon Himself. That He would offer this gift of forgiveness and eternal life to each one of us. We receive that, Lord. We embrace You, Lord Jesus Christ. We want to know You. We want to follow You. We want to walk with You. We want You to live this life through us, for we can't do it in our own strength. If you're here this morning and you've never invited Jesus Christ into your life, we're going to give you an opportunity to do that. We don't want to embarrass anyone. And so we're going to invite all of us to pray this prayer together. It's a prayer of invitation. If you'll pray this out of your heart, if you'll pray this out of your heart, if you'll allow Christ to come in, He will indeed come in. So I invite us to repeat this prayer, and if you'll pray out of your heart, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for loving me. Thank You for sending Jesus to take my punishment, to die on the cross for me. And I now open my heart, Lord Jesus. Come into me by Your Spirit. Forgive me, cleanse me, and make me new. I will follow You all of my days because I love You. Make Yourself real to me, Lord. I want to know You. Amen. If you pray that prayer out of your heart, God is going to begin a miracle in your life. It's not something that I can do for you or anyone else here can do for you, but the reality of God's Holy Spirit will begin a miracle in your life. So we invite you to continue to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to stand and be dismissed, receive the benediction. I invite you again to take a few minutes after the service, some fellowship and refreshments out in the foyer, and congratulate Jay and Melissa and their two boys, Jackson and Hunter. Let's pray and receive the benediction. Heavenly Father, we thank You for loving us. And now may Your love, the love that is unconditional in our lives, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit be with us all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.